Hello, this is Nils from Jokertron Production. Thank you for joining me today. I would like to talk about session organization and why it can be so handy if you set up your own rules or your own guidelines and follow them all the way down when you produce your own music. Think about a session of different instruments, vocal recordings with a multi-track recording. So if you think of a session like with 40 or 50 tracks, that is not unusual if you are in the rock, pop or country genre. So you have many tracks, and to these audio tracks are coming together other track types like aux tracks for effects or group tracks and so on. So this session gets even bigger. And I've got some points for you today that helps you to stay organized. The first one is naming. If you create your own naming scheme for your tracks, then this will help you a lot. Naming is a personal decision, and there are no official guidelines or specification or rules that you have to follow. My dot track naming scheme has evolved from time to time over years. So for the last few years, it has become a very constant situation of a session. When I open a very old session that I have in my archive, I rarely discover tracks that have not already been into that DAW track scheme as well. So if you're unsure about how it will work best for you in the end, don't worry too much about it. Whether it's good or bad how you set up your DAW track naming scheme in the beginning, maybe it will take a while that you receive satisfaction with your naming scheme, but in the end, do it and stay with that. So I try to keep as short as possible on all my audio tracks. This has two reasons. The first one is that I use a controller, a fader controller, the SSL UF8, and that works with the HUI protocol with Pro Tools, and this only shows four characters of the naming. And with the Yukon protocol, when you have a Pro Tools controller, then it's more comfortable. You get a longer name, and maybe with other controls and all the other doors, you will have a different number of letters that are shown on the device. But I have to work with that. It's fine for me. So I keep my names as short as possible. As example, for a bass drum, I only have the BD, or for a snare top mic, I have the SN and TP, or sometimes even just the SN and T for snare top, and for snare bottom, I have the SN and B. And my main vocals got Vox M, so when I shorten them, I can just can fast discover what it's about the track. And if I follow my naming scheme, I know the session very fast what's going on, even if it is an older session. And when I create some groups or folders, I always use uppercase letters. So this is very, very fast to see, is it a group track or an audio track? So with the big letters, like for drum group, it's just drums in big letters, or for the guitar, for all of the guitar tracks, I just use the GIT in uppercase letters, and I can see this very fast. When I do some editing and use plugins like Melodyne for vocal pitch correction or timing correction, I used to have that track where I do the editing, or I keep that in the session, but I change the name and add some letters like M and L for Melodyne, so I know this is the track where I have the Melodyne plugin on. And when I commit my editing to a new track, I just hide that ML track and have the shorter version to work on. The same goes with tracks where I use virtual instruments. When I program some drums or some trumpets or something like that, and if I have the virtual instrument plug in on that track, I have a VI in front of the name of the instrument, then I know exactly this is the track where the plugin lays. And when I bounce the MIDI file to an wave or to an audio file, then I hide that track with the plugin and just have that audio track in the session. Additionally, it is very helpful if you have the names right on the tracks even before you record, then the files, the audio files, get the same name of your tracks. And then when you bounce the tracks, when you export the single audio tracks for backup reasons, or if you want to share that with someone else, like a mixing engineer, or if you have a collaboration, then you have already all files named correctly and don't have to work with audio file number 1.3 or whatever it is automatically created by the DAW. So keep that in mind. This is time saving and you have a very good overview. And creating your own DAW track name scheme, or let yourself be inspired by examples I've kept for several years. I will share a link in the show notes so you can see my exactly examples. And it will certainly take some time to get used to it at the beginning, and you will change things probably. But if you discovered the perfect options for you, then stay with it. And this time you invest to create your name scheme, it's totally worth. You will be able to move quickly in every session you create and find all the tracks and data you need very fast. Okay, we come to the next point, and that is coloring. It's the same with the names. If you create your own color scheme, then you will have a faster overview in a bigger session. So that's dependent on your DAW. In Pro Tools, I can color the in the mixing window, the channel, or the track channels in a color, and I can color the clips, the audio files of that track in the editing window. And I can color them independently, but I like to have the same color because it's easier to see. So I have a DAW track color scheme for both together. And I color my tracks per track type, like the kind of instrument or vocals or effect groups or track groups as well. So for example, my DAW track color scheme for instrument has a bit has a relation to the feeling I have with the color. So all my drums get the brown color, because for me the drums, I think of wood, and then I came to the brown color of wood, and drums most of the time are made of wood, or the shells are made of wood, so that works perfectly together. Like with a bass guitar, I have these deep bass frequencies, and I think of a deeper dark color, and so for me that's dark purple. Then I have the guitars. They are most of the time the main instruments in my own music creation, so they have a kind of red, that's the attention color. Sometimes I make them a bit darker or a bit brighter, so if they are lead guitars, that gets a bit bit darker and the rhythm a bit lighter. But that's depend on the song and how much is going on. Other instruments like piano or strings or something like that, I guess, an orange color. And vocals are, for me, a navy blue. This is the main standard color of Pro Tools when you create an audio track. And it is unclear to me why I did not change this color, but it's burned to my head that this is the main color for the vocals. It's the navy blue. And so backing vocals get a lighter blue. And this is just some gradation to have a better view on the vocals. And sometimes if I have a very big vocal part, like a core or something like that, they even get another lighter colors, like lighter green or something like that in the same way. So I know these are some vocal tracks. And the very bright colors, I don't like them. I rather find them unpleasant to see in a session, so I avoid them to use. But sometimes they get used to if I have tracks that get hidden in the session, like backup tracks, original tracks with Melodyne plugin on, or some reference tracks that I also hide in the mixing session, so I don't see them. And but I can find them, the track is very fast, because they have that attention bright color. My color setting has established for me, and it's a important part of the overall visual representation in my DAW. And that's one reason I really like Pro Tools, because I can set up the color in the DAW like I have to work with it. And I tried other DAWs, but never found the same connection to the color setting as within Pro Tools. That is a very personal preference, and it's important that you find the best color setting in the DAW you would like to work with. A short break for some info about my free worksheet. This worksheet is about how to make sure your song is finished and get this piece of art to the final release. This comes with handy checklist that works hand in hand with the worksheet. Just go to jokertonecourse.com/finish-your-song in one word. Under this link, you can submit your free copy of the worksheet. Now let us get back to the episode. We come to the next point, and this is the order of tracks. And let me give you an example from my beginning. As a teenager, I started playing with guitar, started singing, writing my own songs, and started playing on stage with my own bands. And in a five-piece rock band, we had a quick stage set up just like in any other kind of formation. Most of the time, the drummer sat in the back. And if there was enough space, and if possible, there was a podium, so he had a better overview of the other band. The bass guitar player stands most of the time a bit in front of the drummer, slightly offset or to the left and to the right. And then there are the two guitar players split up on the left and the right flanks. And me as a singer and the frontman stand in the middle, right in front of the stage. So I had the presence and do the animation for the audience and so on. And I adopt this staging of a live band from the beginning as my order of the tracks in a recording setup, and also in the DAW session. So when I record on a bigger analog console, I have the same order of tracks like I do the today in my DAW session. This sorting is not a standard that you should use, so everyone has their own personal feelings and opinions. And as an example, you could choose your order according to the importance of the tracks, or according to rhythm and lead parts, there are no rules or guides. So use the order where you think of that is the best way for you, and then do that in all your upcoming sessions. The only rule is here that you should do this continue in all your sessions, and when you have learned all of your own settings, then you will find through the session without even watching. And I've learned a lot from my band and stage experience. And for example, 90% of a soundcheck started with the drums, followed by the bass guitar, then the electric guitars and other instruments, and at the end, the vocals. And in the mix process, I also follow this procedure when I do a rough mix. At some point, I change the sequence in the mixing process, but the DAW session has always the same track order in the same visual layout. So start with the drums, bass guitar, guitars, instruments, vocals, and then the two track where all is summing together. And I've got so used to it that I can immediately find my way around in any session I call up. Next point on my list, routing. And this is a big part of your track organization. At first, we have the routing of the single tracks to subgroups. For example, if you have record a whole drum set and you have used two overheads for the left and the right side of the drums, you can route these two single tracks to a subgroup and do all the processing on that stereo subgroup, like EQing, compressing, or whatever you want to do to the overheads. You don't have to do that to the single tracks alone. Another example would be if you mic up a guitar amp, not just with one mic, so with two mics. And then you can create the sound from these two mics and route both of the single tracks to a subgroup. And then you just have to deal with one fader then with two faders of the mics. And I think you get my intention, what I mean with routing single tracks to subgroups. So you have in the end less faders to work if you have a bigger session. And then we have the routing of all the single tracks and the additional subtracks to the groups. So I mean the main subgroups. I route all my drum tracks, included the single tracks, the little subgroups, effect tracks, all together to a main subgroup, and that I call drums. So I have just a single fader that I can move the whole drum set post effect of all the inserts that I have on the single drums, single drum tracks, and on the group of the drums. And that I do with all bass guitar tracks. Most of the time I just have one bass guitar track from a DI or a second from a mic'd up bass guitar, and sometimes an effect track where I have some distortion going on so I can mix them together to have a single bass guitar track. And I do that with all the others, with the guitars to one subgroup, with the instruments, with the vocals, and if I have additional audio effects like samples or whatever, I have another main subgroup. So in the end, I have 5 to 6 main subgroups for all instruments. And if you have a very big session of 40, 50, 60 single tracks together with all the additional effect aux tracks, then you can minimize the whole session to just, let's say, 10 or 15 faders that you really work in the end at the mixing stage when you finalize the session. So if you get the routing right, you can prepare all the routing and the layout of the session and then have to work the same way, and you will see that you have the best overview and still be flexible within your routing session. And a part of the routing could be as well track folders. You can bring in all the single audio tracks into a track folder, close that folder, and just have that folder track or folder clip line in your editing window. Don't have the, let's say, 15 or 18 single drum tracks to see, just have the track folder. And I do this with all my main subgroups, drums, bass, guitar, instruments, and vocals. And so I have all the groups like within on stage for the example of my rock band, so on the same order within the folders. And these kind of track folders are very helpful for the whole organization, especially in larger sessions. And Pro Tools offers you two types of folders. There are the normal folders just for the visual aspect to display all the assigned tracks to expand and collapse that folder, and also routing folders. And this is a very, very nice feature set for Pro Tools. You have that routing folder for the visual aspect, but also use this as a group or as a group bus. So you have their inserts, you can use automation, you have a fader, you have a pan function. So this folder acts as a group, but also have that visual collapse and expanded function. I really like to work with routing folders, and they have made my session routing much easier because I don't really need any more VCA tracks. And I also worked on my SSL UFA controller with some buttons to navigate to the needed folders. This is very helpful. The last point for today is the I/O routing of your DAW session, and that combines your interface. If you have just one or two inputs from your interface, then this is very easy to handle. Also, if you just one or two outputs. But if you use an interface with like up to 24 inputs or something like that, then you need to have a good organization of the inputs to know what's coming in from which point and where it should go to the session, where you would like to route that inside the session, and then how it goes to the output. And an organized I/O routing is so essential, even more when you record, but also when you want to route the session, the single tracks inside the session. You don't have to create all the bus types again, again, and again in every new session. If you have an organized layout that you use as a template, then you will save a lot of time. In Pro Tools, I thought it's very complicated, but if you get into it, then it makes so much sense. And since some versions back, we also have in Pro Tools a coloring of the I/O setting that makes it even more easier. And I thought I never would use this because I also have a naming scheme for the I/O routing, but with a color set, it's even more easier to see what's going on, where it comes in, where it comes out. And so if you have a look on your DAW session, then look for the I/O routing. Can you create templates? Can you create a name scheme as well that you find very fast the inputs, the outputs, the bus routing? And maybe you use a hardware inserts if you can set that up as well. Create your templates, use that in every session. And that also will take time, all of the organization, your naming scheme, your color scheme, your routing, all needs time to get to a point where you say, yes, that's the way I would like to work. But you have to start at some point. And if you create it again in every new session, all of them new, then you will do it probably in a different way every time, and you won't be consistent in the creation and in the usage, and you will left time on the table. And maybe you have enough time, maybe you have all the time in the world, that's fine, but you could use that time for the more creative part, for the fun part, for the mixing, for the recording, for the writing, or whatever you are producing. So when you do that on that organization part, take your time, create that and use that, and you will see that you will have much more freedom inside the whole production process. Okay, that was it for today on the organization for your door session. I have already created some blog posts to that type. I also created a video series about routing inside the door like Pro Tools. I put that links in the show notes. So if you want to read or watch more to that kind of topic, feel free to use my content. And I hope it will help you. I hope you will gain something out from that. And I have to say thank you for your time. Hope we'll come back to the next episode of this podcast. So stay tuned till the next time. Bye-bye.